You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. In anticipation of the Olympic Games beginning on Friday in Beijing, Beijing is surrounded by, blanketed by security. But on the western side of the country, state media says today 16 policemen were killed in an attack there. The Chinese news agency said two attackers drove a truck at a group of police in the city of Kashgar and threw explosives. They then hacked the policemen with knives, according to reports. Two people have been arrested. There has been no independent confirmation, but we're joined for the very latest by BBC correspondent Dan Griffiths, who's in Beijing. And Dan, this is exactly what Chinese officials are hoping to avoid.
Absolutely. Of course, China wanting to focus on the Olympics, a crowning achievement, if you like, from the eyes of Chinese politicians on 30 years of economic growth. Instead, we're waking up to reports all day today, really, about these attacks in Xinjiang on the far northwest province of China. And really, what seems to have happened there is that early this morning, local time, around 8 o'clock, two attackers drove up in a lorry. They drove that lorry into a group of police officers who were out doing their morning exercises, their morning keep fit exercises. The attackers then jumped out of that vehicle. They threw grenades that exploded. They hacked at the police with knives. And we understand from the Chinese state news agency that 14 police officers died there at the scene. Another two on the way to a hospital. And the Chinese authorities, at least, are calling this a terrorist attack. That is what they have called it. They suspect that it's a terrorist attack, they say. But of course, as you were saying in that intro, we've had no independent confirmation of any of this. This is just coming to us from the Chinese state news agency at the moment.
And Dan, certainly a very sophisticated attack. We'll talk about now the security in the country, but mostly centered mostly in Beijing. Is that not the case, or is security across the entire huge country?
Well, what's very interesting is when you talk about this province of Xinjiang, it is home to around between 7 and 8 million Muslims, and there are tensions between the Muslim community and Han Chinese who have moved in there. And as a result, the Chinese authorities have really upped the security presence there in recent months and years. So there's a very heavy security presence in Xinjiang, and that's why this attack, if confirmed fully, will be highly embarrassing for the Chinese authorities, because of course it questions their whole security apparatus, if you like, and of course that is the last thing they want ahead of the Olympics, because security, they've said, is one of their key concerns. In the past, we've had Chinese officials saying that one of their key worries is what they call a terrorist attack during the Olympics, and yet here you have in the west of the country a clear breach of Chinese security. So I'm sure officials will be looking at this and they will be extremely concerned.
Dan, a quick question about the subject of this attack. I mean, the Uyghurs, who are the Muslim group that are presumed to be behind this, are very obscure on the world stage, it's fair to say. Not so in China. What are they hoping to achieve, do you think, by attempting to disrupt the games?
Well, it's very early to say really who might be behind this. I mean, certainly the Chinese state news agency has hinted at a group known as the East Turkestan Islamic Movement. But that is a movement that the Chinese have claimed in the past have been behind attacks. And they've actually produced very little evidence to back up those claims. And don't forget, of course, that the Uyghurs, that is the name given to the group of ethnic Muslims that live in that region, and we're talking between 7 and 8 million people, and I don't think for a second the Chinese authorities are assuming that the whole ethnic group is involved in anything like this at all. So you have to be very careful when you talk about Xinjiang in that sense, because of course you speak to people there and there clearly is some resentment towards Chinese rule, there's no doubt about that, but making the connection between that on the one hand and then attacks economics, on the other hand, is very, very difficult because, as I say, the Chinese authorities come out and say it's Muslim militants, and they've also come out and say, look, that they believe that Muslim militants are plotting to attack the Olympic Games. But when you say to them, well, where's the evidence? Show us what you've got. They produce very little evidence indeed. So there may well be a militant threat there, but the reality is that the Chinese are not at the moment producing the evidence for journalists like ourselves to be able to put those things together.
No, and I think you're absolutely right to be very, very cautious. I guess the question for listeners who maybe don't understand what the issue between the Uyghurs is and China, is there any sort of straightforward political mission on the part of the Uyghurs that they want to get from the Chinese that would illuminate, you know, what might change depending on, you know, what happens at the Olympics?
Well, I think what's very interesting about this whole area is that in many ways it borders Central Asia, and the Uyghur people themselves really are ethnically much closer to Central Asia, both in terms of their culture and in terms of their religion, of course, as well, than they are to China. And over the past few years, what we've seen is a growing influx of Han Chinese who've been coming from other parts of China to Xinjiang, often to work. And I think that has led to tensions because many Muslims who live in the region believe that some of the Han Chinese are given preferential terms. They believe that this influx of Han Chinese is diluting their own culture and their own community. And many are concerned about that. And that is leading to resentment, and it's leading to tensions. And this is the problem that the Chinese government faces today at the moment, that there are these tensions between these two communities, and they're very difficult to resolve.
Let's put it in a much broader context, which is last week a senior Chinese army official was quoted as warning that Islamic separatists, not just the Uyghur, but also Al-Qaeda, Islamic militants from Turkey, given an incident last month where a so-called Turkestan Islamic Party said it had blown up buses in Shanghai, something that the Chinese did deny, but they are listing a whole line of potential threats, and human rights advocates are charging that this is the reason why they've upped security across the country. It's really not just because of the Olympics, but because of crackdowns.
Well, this is a very interesting point, isn't it? And that point you made about the Turkestan Islamic Party was a very interesting one, I think, because China were appearing really to send out very mixed messages. On the one hand, it was talking, as you were saying, about what it perceived was a threat from some sort of Islamic militant group. And, of course, it has talked a lot about what it believes is a threat from Islamic militants based within the country. And yet, when you have these attacks, and a group called the Turkestan Islamic Party comes out and says it was responsible for them, then the Chinese government turns around and says, no, you weren't. So the Chinese government sending out very mixed messages, and of course, hardly surprising then that some human rights groups are saying that really the Chinese government is using these comments on Islam, on Muslim militants, to actually clamp down in areas like Xinjiang, where there is some anti-government feeling, that really they're using the idea of a possible threat from Islamic militants to actually clamp down in areas where there are tensions and where there's unrest.
Well, Dan, set the scene for us. You know, a couple of days away from the actual opening of the Olympics, how's the air there in Beijing?
It's pretty bad today.
Pretty bad today. And people are really...
We had 2 days of clear skies, but today it's back to business as usual.
And people are really starting to arrive. I saw some pictures at the airport. I mean, the place is going to begin filling up. Are you noticing that?
Yes, I mean, you are certainly around the Olympic venues, not so much in Beijing away from the Olympic venues, but you certainly are around the Olympic venues. And I think what's so interesting about this whole issue of air pollution is, of course, that, you know, the Chinese government is used to controlling this country. It's used to having everything pretty much its own way.
But Mother Nature is another matter there. Right. But more importantly, are the buildings ready to go? Are the facilities ready to go when these athletes are going to be wanting to start their competitions?
They appear to be. I've been up and down to these Olympic venues quite a few times now, and it does appear that all the venues are pretty much ready to go. I must say they are putting a few finishing touches to some of the gardens around the Olympic venues. I've seen gardeners being deployed, literally tens of gardeners in different areas being deployed, putting
flowers
plants out here, there, and everywhere.
Dan Griffiths, we know that flowers are so important when it comes to the Olympics. Thanks for joining us.
The Olympic orchid team.
Dan Griffiths, BBC correspondent in Beijing. And boy, he was filling us in on a whole lot happening in China.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.